Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here today. We're going to start the show by learning about the sport of biathlon, and we're going to take a look at a new center that will house the sport at Brilliant, Wisconsin. And we're hearing from a couple of guests today. One of them, Dan Ahrens. He is chairman and CEO of the Ahrens Nordic Center. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Larry. Good morning.
Good morning. And also with us, Sean Becker. Sean is the Ahrens Nordic Center's general manager. Before coming to the Nordic Center, he operated and maintained a snowmaking operation at the Kettle Moraine State Forest, and he's been Nordic skiing since the age of six. Sean, thanks for joining in as well.
Larry, thanks for having me today. Appreciate it.
Well, great to have you here. As we talk with these two fellows, I want to have you join in. Love to have you join in. What do you wonder about the sport of biathlon? What questions do you have about cross-country ski trail grooming or about the new Nordic Center? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. Dan, let's start with you. How did you get the idea? Give us the background on what led to building a Nordic ski center in the middle of Wisconsin, in one way, I guess we could say, in the middle eastern part of the state.
I think you were trying to say in the middle of nowhere, like. which is really that's part of the story. We are Brilliant, Wisconsin, you mentioned in your intro, is between Appleton and Manitowoc on Highway 10, east-west corridor. We're kind of right between I-43 and I-41, if you want to think about the north-south interstates in Wisconsin here. We've been in Brilliant over 100 years as a family. The Ahrens family started the Brilliant Ironworks and then started the Ahrens Company in 1933. And we've grown. And one of the challenges we have in Brilliant is the fact that it's rural. And as we've grown, we're trying to continue to recruit people to work for Ahrens, but come and live in Brilliant. We think it's a great community. And we've been a big supporter of the Brilliant High School and the elementary school and our private schools here. We just love what we've got going here in Brilliant, but it's not as well known. So this idea of a Nordic Center comes from this initiative we started maybe a decade ago, if I date myself, but it was to try and reinvigorate Brilliant and find out how to make Brilliant a destination of sorts, how to make Brilliant a place to come to. Why would you come to Brilliant unless you're visiting one of the businesses here or the high schools and come and play basketball or football or one of the sports in high school? But as we did that, we created the Ahrens Hospitality business, which has two event venues here in Brilliant that are on the property that we had owned for years. And then looking over that property, we were trying to figure out a way to really utilize some 250 acres of farmland that we had. We think it's just beautiful, right? We have a venue called Round Lake Farms, which overlooks Round Lake. We're right on the shore of that small lake. And then as you look to the west, we have these beautiful rolling hills that that surround the other side of our Round Lake barn. And as I was looking at it one day, I just thought, this would be, it's beautiful property. How do we utilize it? And how do we get people to appreciate the scenic beauty of Northeast Wisconsin? And it's all around us. So how do we have a way to, help people come and see Brilliant, but at the same time, help people get outside, get outdoors. We have been the sponsor of the U.S. biathlon team, U.S. ski, Nordic ski team, since around 2017-18 winter. Mike's children and I have been over to some of the World Cup events in Austria, Germany, Norway, where we're a big part of the snow business there. And in our getting used to or getting acclimated to the sport of biathlon, and then looking at that property and then getting to know some people that could help us design a world-class trail, then it was just sort of a field of dreams from there. you know, build it, and we hope they come.
It is. It's really cool. But Sean, let's give us a picture of the grounds.
We've got a 5-kilometer trail system. 3 kilometers of that is paved for roller skiing. So there's a saying that we have in the Nordic world that says skiers are made in the summer. And a lot of these skiers have to ski on public roadways or bike paths, and they're either crowded, congested, or you have to worry about traffic. So kind of solved for that problem here. And we've got 3 kilometers of rolling terrain for roller skiing, and then 2 kilometers roughly of it that are going to be for running or walking trails during the summer, and then we'll be with our man-made snow operation, we'll have snow over that entire 5 kilometers.
So the center itself, how does it compare to other ski centers across the U.S., for example?
Well, I could start with that. Start with across the state. There's not really many that are situated the way that we are here. We have state parks, county parks, some other areas that are club based, and being private, we can change that formula a little bit. So hopefully when people come and ski here, when they leave and go back to other locations that they ski locally, they'll really want to come back and frequent us here at Aaron's Nordic. Across the country, as far as there are a few other venues that have roller skiing and have man-made snow, and they also have the electronic biathlon target systems similar to what we have here. Many of those are either based, the significant ones that the U.S. biathlon team and U.S. ski team, they'd spend time training at in Park City, Utah at Soldier Hollow, which was an Olympic site, as well as Lake Placid at Mount Ben Hovenberg. Has their newest same style system as what we have here, but then there's a handful of other ones across the country that Casper Mountains got a great one that a former biathlete runs, and Olympic biathlete runs, and then also like Craftsbury out in Vermont, another fantastic venue, Jericho out there. So there's a handful of other venues that operate at the same level, but amenity wise I think people are going to be, we're changing the formula here. The people, when they come here, are going to be very impressed, and it's not what they're used to seeing. So we're really looking forward to opening here and really showing people what we've got.
And your opening, the opening is soon, right, Dan?
Well, yeah, Sean is busy making snow right now, and it's quite a sight to see, some frozen fields up here, and then see this boom power of white snow. So Sean will be able to tell us when we're open, but our open house formally is January 6th, 7th, and 8th that weekend. But I think Sean might be ready before that. We'll see, right?
Well,
Sean, what do you think?
Well, if Mother Nature would continue to cooperate, we could be open fairly soon. The problem here, just as Dan alluded to, is that we've got these we've got these low snow winters. So you've got all these frozen fields and open areas that just don't have any snow on them, and with the help of some amazing new technology, HKD is the company that we're utilizing for our snow guns, and they make very efficient snow, and we impose some limits on when we make snow and to make sure that we're being responsible from different standpoints to make sure that we're able to capitalize on the time and the temperature in order to make large amounts of snow at a time instead of smaller increments along the way. So between having an amazing infrastructure put in here for this is second to none what we have, a buried pipe system that's able to deliver our water to us and have it start up in relatively short period of time. And having an amazing crew, the Aaron's Outdoors group that I've got here working with me are just amazing. They're down. I couldn't ask for better. I mean, they're down for whatever. They come out. They're like, yeah, what do you need? We'll take care of that for you. And they're troopers, and they'll go to the wee hours in the morning and it's, they'll just handle it. So when you come out here suddenly, and it's hard to see from the roadway, you can see some white spots, but we've got some drone footage that we're coming up with, that allows you to see the connecting the dots of all the snow. So, you know, getting this stuff down in a short period of time is our best interest. We can soft open hopefully somewhere in mid-December. And then by the time that we get to our grand opening, without any meltdowns or anything in between, hopefully we'll all be skiing here at that point in time.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I heard that you were up at 1 o'clock this morning. Making snow.
That's this time of year. It's you have to make it when you have the correct temperature and humidities, and sometimes it's a waiting game. You know, you look at your forecast, you try to be a weather guy, and you see that, okay, it looks like about 1 a.m. will work, so you get prepped up and ready to go. And then Mother Nature doesn't cooperate, and it's 3 or 3:30 before you can actually make it. And we kind of say it's the difference between making rainbows or making snow. Because at a 28 degree wet bulb, it's one or the other. It's really cut and dried. So I had somebody tell me, they said, well, maybe you could rent those guns out for birthday parties during the summer and make rainbows for kids. And if we put two of them together, we can make a double rainbow or something. So there's infinite marketing capabilities with what we have here.
Well, Dan, tell us what, if I come there, what am I going to be able to do? There's a lot that a person's going to be able to do when they get there.
Well, we are in the process of building our we call it our warming shack, Sean, or our Nordic center. That I just walked through that building earlier this morning, and we should be ready for the January 6th kickoff. So that's where we'll greet guests, and we'll do our tickets, and we want to be in a position to rent the skis here. We're having a little trouble with supply chain on getting cross-country skis, but I think we'll solve that problem shortly. But bring your family, and if you're not a skier, come and visit and bring your kids and bring others who want to ski. You can hang out in the warming house. We'll have snacks and food. We're building our sort of commissary there so that you can get something to eat and relax in the ski world, operate ski and just hang out and have a drink or something after. So this is all on the same site as what we call Round Lake Farms. It's the same farmland, all rolling hills that are attached to the barn, which is a much larger facility. And that will be open as well to, it's a bigger facility, several fireplaces that you can sit in, warm up, ski in to and out of, as well as that ticket house. So we want to be able to serve you lunch, dinner, come early for some breakfast snacks, those kinds of treats, and then spend the day. And I would add, Sean can help me here, but we do have, a sledding hill so that if you're not inclined to ski, the kids can bring their sleds out and just sled right near the warming house or the Nordic Center.
Our guest today, Dan Aarons, Chairman and CEO of the Aarons Nordic Center, and Sean Becker, the General Manager of the Aarons Nordic Center. You can join in with your questions. We'll take some calls in just a second here. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Clara Neipert is our producer today. Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Dan Aarons, Chairman and CEO of the Aarons Nordic Center. Sean Baker, our guest, Becker, our guest as well. Sean is the General Manager of the Aarons Nordic Center. Questions or comments for them, I hope you'll join in. Number to call 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Let's take a call. Tom and McQuanigo, we'll go to you. Tom, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Larry. I really, really appreciate it. And Sean, you knew I was going to call.
yes.
Sean Becker. Sean and his beautiful family have been real close friends of mine for years. And Dan, you could not have picked a better person to work as your manager up there. The guy is so detailed and knows his stuff so well. It's just incredible. The thing I wanted to say too, I was up at the soft opening in September, and after that was up for another biathlon sort of open house or a master session that we did up there. Got to roller ski on the trail, shoot at the targets, do some stuff like that. The center is just amazing, and I can't thank Aaron's enough for bringing this to Wisconsin. And as one of the, I'm probably the longest lasting member of Wisconsin Biathlon, which is out of Eagle, out of McMiller Center in Eagle. We are just thrilled to death with having a new venue and the support that Aaron's is showing for biathlon, not only in Wisconsin, but in the United States. It's been just incredible. Let me say one more thing, Larry, and to Dan, I'm so impressed with how family oriented the Aaron's company is. It just was amazing to see that up there. And my last comment is, Larry, we got to get you out there, buddy.
Well, I tell you what, I like cross-country skiing, and I've enjoyed it a lot. I actually like to shoot, too, but I've never combined the two. So I guess, Tom, I'm going to have to get up there. But Dan, a comment on Tom's comments.
Well, you know, first, Tom, we are very fortunate to have Sean on our team. And I'll give you a quick story on that. I wasn't part of the interview process, and that was probably a good thing because I don't know what to ask, right? I only know enough to be dangerous. But when Sean was interviewed, the team came to me and said, oh my gosh, we got to figure out how to hire this guy. And so they went off and figured out a way to get Sean to join the team. So it's Sean, we're lucky to have you. Thank you very much. And, you know, now watching you, you know, make snow out there at 2 and 3 and whatever in the morning. We're very fortunate, thrilled to have you.
Well, Aaron's, you know, talk about Aaron's company. You know, Tom mentioned the sort of the family nature, and Aaron's company is, it's family owned, been that way for over 100 years.
Right. Thanks for that, Larry. We, and for Tom, thank you. You know, I think that's what, we make lawnmowers and snowblowers, right? We're a manufacturing company, and, my father before me was one of those leaders that was, well, my mother and father, I'm from a family of 9, right? So we grew up, you know, learning how to, you know, share as a family and treat each other with respect and do all the things that, you know, families do, good or bad, right? You know, beat each other up on one morning and the next morning, you know, play doubles tennis or something. But we, you know, that's kind of how we have our company set up, right? So we have, if I could just take a minute, we have really important core values that I talk to all the time. It's simple. We're honest. We be honest. We're fair. We keep our commitments. We respect the individual. And then finally, intellectual curiosity is our goal. So we encourage intellectual curiosity. And those simple core values that go back to, you know, my grandfather and my father were, my grandfather used to say, you know, we do business on a handshake. You know, my commitment is my word, and my handshake is my commitment. And, you know, when we're looking for employees, we're looking for people who want to join our culture. And then it's, yeah, we make lawnmowers and snowblowers, and we do things now beyond that with hospitality in the Nordic Center. But we, I think that's what's helped us survive. We've been up against really tough Chinese competition. We've been up against really tough U.S. competition that you know, chases a lower cost product. We pay a really good wage, and we're very competitive. We've got tremendous benefits, and what that gives us is really talented people, and that's what makes us different. That's what makes us special, is just having really, like Sean. I mean, how we were able to get Sean to, you know, have his family commit to us. And I always say, when we hire Sean, we hired his family, right? We're responsible for keeping Sean going and keeping his family, you know, as part of our business. So that's who we are.
Well, we have John in La Crosse, which I think we lost John, but his question is still up on my screen here, so I'm going to ask it. John's wondering, are there hotels or places to stay nearby, and then wonders if you're going to have big races there or competitions.
I'll let Sean speak a little bit to the races, but on the hotel, the development, again, a short story. The Brilliant Ironworks closed in 2016, and the family, Aaron's family, bought that property. So we are developing that 140 acres here in Brilliant. And, you know, it was 140 acres with 29 buildings on it. We've taken all of them down except for two historic buildings that we're preserving. One we're moving into, which is the office building, and another which we're about to turn into what we'd like to create as a tap room, brew pub, and have another place for people that ski or use the Nordic Center all four seasons to go and have everything from pizza to, you know, what I call pub food, and you know, a tap room. But where I'm going with that is, on that 140 acres, we're doing our second hotel study for the area. We would like to build a boutique sort of hotel with probably something like 60, 65 rooms would be our goal. And then we also have the idea on this Nordic Center, we'd like to build sort of cottagey units, which takes us to Sean's part of this, which is competitive skiing. We have this vision for ski in, ski out, where, let's say, athletes that want to come and train in the summer or want to come in and do some winter training on skis, we'd like them to be able to stay in these huts or these ski in, ski out places right on the hill or right on the property. So that's two parts of ways that we're looking for building hotels out here in Brilliant.
And Sean, do you want to add on a little bit then in terms of the competitions and so forth?
Yeah. Well, first, I just want to say it's so exciting when I get to hear Dan talk about these things, because when you're out working on it and then you see what the possibilities are through the vision that he has, it's really exciting when you can think about having that capability for people that could ski in and ski out of a little cabin or something like that, and spend some time here, stay and play type situations. And what they're doing here in the rest of Brilliant and growing it is amazing. And people, even with Airbnbs that are opening up, you know, all over the place in anticipation of what will become something here is great. So we do get that. It's great that you had that question, because you do get that question quite often from people from way out of state saying, I want to come, but where am I going to stay? So, but accommodating competitions and things like that, yes. Our first year out, we're still, and I'm going to, you know, pun intended, you're trying to get our skis under us, under mm-hmm. ourselves. And as we do this, we're going to put some local and regional competitions together initially. We've already identified a couple different weekends later in the season with Wisconsin Biathlon, which Tom had talked about earlier. Great organization, and the guys from Blackhawk and Mark Torresani over on the west side of the state that have their own biathlon range, but they need other places to put on biathlon races. So that is something that we're going to be doing here later in the season. We may branch out, do a few Nordic races as well. but again, smaller ones at this point, so that we understand our capacity and see what people have a taste for here. Being that we've got 5 kilometers of trail, we can do, you know, short sprint races, 5 kilometer, 7 kilometer, 12 kilometer. But also, if you want to come in and get 50 kilometers in and like train for a Berkey or something like that, then yeah, you can come out and do 10 5K laps and you about have your distance in. So we have a lot of those different things to offer from training to competition.
I gotta believe let me ask you, put it this way, how has the community of Brilliant responded to this whole center?
Well, and thanks for that. It's a I think there's a lot of excitement in the community. And getting prepared to announce our Nordic Center, we worked closely with the community, the mayor, chief of police, the aldermen and the council members, Brilliant community. It's both the city of Brilliant and the town, because the roads that run through, we've had to work with the several townships locally to make sure that we're doing it right, working with the DNR to make sure we're following all the permitting and getting the right permits, because it's a deep well that Sean uses to make snow. We had to dig a large pond, 40-foot deep pond, to be able to have a reservoir for all the snowmaking we needed to do. And I just had this breakfast earlier this morning. Retirees invited me to their Christmas breakfast, which I was thrilled to go to, and I had not seen some of these folks for 10 years. They were asking me, hey, when are you opening the Nordic Center? And when can we come out and see it? There's just a lot of enthusiasm for having this right here in Brilliant. You know, and as Sean mentioned, as we get competitive races or competitive athletes that are training, it's going to draw more and more people into the community. And I think that's making our community excited about who's going to come show up in Brilliant.
You know, as I think about this, when you have a facility like, I'm thinking speed skating as an example. In Milwaukee, we have that great speed skate, center where we wound up with some of the greatest speed skaters, or maybe the greatest speed skater in history.
Right.
Jansen.
Jansen. And I got to believe that for biathlon, well, maybe for others things as well, that this is going to inspire a lot of young people maybe to get into biathlon, as an example, from Wisconsin.
Sean can speak to this too, but I get a little choked up when I think about the opportunity. We have 2 athletes. This was part of our inspiration to actually build this. So the very short story is I'm in Austria. Actually, we were in Germany at the World Cup race. And then the U.S. team invited us to have dinner with them. And it was just, imagine your typical Oompa band with the accordion playing and then, the hammer and tapping a keg and we're there and we're just enjoying, a fresh beer and the athletes are there and we're just having a great time. And 2 of the athletes are from the area, Deidre Irwin and Paul Schomer. Paul's in Appleton, Deidre's from Pulaski. And I sit down next to Deidre and I said, well, hey, tell me about yourself. And she tells me she's, from Pulaski. And I think, oh my gosh, And I knew Paul, right? Paul was the one that invited us to be the sponsor because he happened to be walking through Austria, saw one of our snowblowers in the Alps and said, oh, I know that company. Let's call them and see if they want to be a sponsor. Well, boom, they land a sponsor. We land ourselves a treat to build the Nordic Center. So talking to them, I asked, where do you train? And that was the challenge. They don't have a good spot to train in the Midwest. Where they know there's going to be snow, as Sean talked about. But to the goal, when we cut ribbon and opened up the Nordic Center, we had the athletes and John Morton, who's our trail designer, who is, Mr. U.S. biathlon team going back to the 50s. I think he was a 4-time or 3-time biathlete. And yeah. John's a wonderful man. He's a he's got the biggest heart of anybody I think I've met. John, almost in tears, said to us, you know what? You guys are going to have, in 10 years, you're going to have an athlete that makes it to the Olympics, and it's going to bring you right to tears because it's going to be such a proud moment. And if we can make that happen, I can tell you, I will be like a baby and crying all the way there. I can see it. So that'd be fun.
Oh, man. Well, you know, here's some people listening probably saying, I don't remember how biathlon works. And yeah, frankly, I've always enjoyed watching the Olympic event. I mean, you know, I don't think I've ever seen a competition outside of the Olympics, to be honest. And I'm probably not, I may be in the majority of people on that. And Sean, let me turn to you. Explain biathlon to us.
So, there's a Tom Kelly's a guy that has a podcast, and he's very well and very, very deeply involved with U.S. biathlon, and he runs a podcast called Heartbeat. And the way he always explains it is it's two diametrically opposed sports that you're trying to do at the same time. So you've got your Nordic skiing and you've got precision marksmanship, and you can be either a really good skier, you can be a really good marksman. And if you take that really good marksman and you take him out and have him ski, and he's got a 168 beat per minute heart rate when he comes into the range, now try to be that amazing marksman. It's a pretty difficult task. So you basically have a bunch of different categories that you can ski in. You will ski a distance. You stop at the range. You shoot at targets that are 50 meters away from you. And when you're prone or laying down, which are two, if you shoot at the range, you shoot at the range, you're gonna shoot prone, and then you're gonna shoot standing. So your first couple times through prone, you're laying down, you're shooting at a target that's 45 millimeters or about the size of an Oreo cookie. Your second or your third and fourth, fifth time around the range, when you're coming in, you're shooting at a target standing, and you're shooting at a target about 115 millimeters. So you're about the size of a grapefruit. And you get those opportunities to shoot at that target. Every time you miss a target, you have to go, you're penalized for that. So you have to go and you have to ski on a penalty loop that's 150 meters long. So not only do you go through the mental part of I missed the target, now you're kind of you get to go ski a loop in front of everybody to show that you didn't get that, and that holds you back on your time. And so you could be a great skier and shoot terribly, or you can be a great marksman and not ski very well. But at the end of the day, the tide can turn in a moment. And Dan's been there. He's seen these. If you watch any World Cup biathlon races from pre-COVID, there can be 100,000 people at one of these events. And when the skier skis into the range to take that first shot, it's like golf. You could hear a pin drop. And the second that target is hit, that nationality that's there, that contingent's there, it's like the Super Bowl. And it happens. So those shots, those athletes, that the world class athletes, the Olympic athletes, when they shoot at these targets, at five targets, when they're doing this, they say that they shoot in between breaths, and the really good ones shoot in between heartbeats. The fast guys can take down these five targets in 6 seconds if they're super accurate. And so that time frame goes by fast, but you can think about that roaring crowd happening every second for every athlete that's out there. It's something to see. So if you don't understand it, watch some pre-COVID World Cup in Europe races, and it'll give you an idea. But so you're working hard. You're trying to be precise. You're trying to not, you know, it's a mental game. So, you know, we actually, here, not only do we have the 50 meter targets, but we also have parasport targets. And those parasport targets are at a 10 meter distance. And that 10 meter distance allows those para athletes to be able to do the sport. Not only if you're an athlete that's in a sit ski because you have maybe, say, a spinal cord injury or you're missing a limb, we also have targets, and this was a conundrum for me to try to figure out, but we have targets that are made for visually impaired skiers.
Wow.
So they're able to shoot, and it's an auditory system. You put headphones on and you aim at the target. And I realized after trying this that you have to do it with your eyes closed so that you're not using those other senses, and you can hone in on it and you can take your shots and get up and go back out and ski again. So we have distance and elevation for parasport, as well as for all the other athletes from, you know, 10 and up that want to ski biathlon and shoot, that we can accommodate here. So the foresight that these, you know, I came in at the 50 yard line on this, Larry. I got to tell you that, you know, Monica Aarons, I don't know, she learned something that I don't know, she was tasked with this at the point where they said, figure out biathlon in a Nordic center and all this stuff. And she brought this thing all the way through till now. She's been great to work with. But the fact of the matter is that figured it out and made it work and surrounded themselves with the right people to get the right equipment here, to get the right work done, and really to make Aaron's Nordic Center what it's going to be. I've been pinching myself since I started back in May. I haven't been able to believe that I have an opportunity to use my prior work, accomplishments to be able to actually come back and do something as a real job. And you said the Pettit National Ice Center. I've had people ask me in my past jobs, they said, what is a Nordic Center? What are you talking about? So I've likened it to what the Pettit Center is, just for Nordic skiing and biathlon. So definitely, Dan, we're on par with what the Pettit Center has been able to produce. So look out. We're going to, like John said, we're going to have athletes that might not even know what it is right now. They might not even know what skiing or shooting is. They might be in grade school, but we're going to have them. They're going to come out of this venue for sure.
It's just an amazing, amazing thing. I can't wait to get up there to see it and maybe do a little cross-country skiing.
We'd love to have you. We'll have plenty of rentals available and lessons. We'll give right on site here. We got a great staff that's versed in all that. So we'll have all that stuff available for you here, Larry. When you come up, I'll give you your skate lesson if you want to do that, and get you shooting on the range all in the same day.
And I just one more thing, because I saw somewhere that snowshoeing, of course, snowshoeing and cross country skiing, they don't mix. You can't be snowshoeing on a cross-country ski trail, but you actually have something for that as well?
Yes. Well, the snowshoe trails, we really need natural snow for that. You don't want to really, you know, snowshoe on man-made snow. And when we get that natural snow down, we'll be able to have areas for that. And in the future, you know, potentially fat biking, and we'll be able to try to get all that stuff happening out on the trails, all at, you know, cohesive and playing nice with each other. We as a Wisconsin company, we've been trying to partner with other Wisconsin-based companies, and there's a great company out of La Crosse area called Red Feather that pioneered the way in some of their technology they have for snowshoes. So we've got a lot of sets of their snowshoes, from their touring to rec use and competition level, and also little like they look like little dinosaur feet for little stampers for the little kids, so they can go out and you know, trudge around in those as well. So, and then, yeah, so that's another component of what we'll have here. And we'll develop those things, you know, as Dan alluded to earlier with sledding. We'll have as we go here and we get more natural snow in other areas, we're exploring that tubing scenario that we'll hopefully be able to implement here, you know, soon as we get into this. So.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot of people wondering, well, when can I go? I mean, when are you going to be open kind of for business for people to come?
So we're shooting for a mid-December opening, again, to have hopefully have enough snow down that we can have a couple kilometers worth of loops out there to start skiing on, and also a roller ski venue, a lot of skiers, they want to be able to have transition from roller skiing to snow with no gap. And here we can literally have a foot on a roller ski and a foot on a ski on the snow and be able to transfer right over to that. So with that capability, that mid-December soft opening, we would hope to be able to launch that and with our past sales and be able to get some people coming in and utilizing the venue. And then our grand opening, of course, when we get to that point, it'll be a free ski weekend. We're allowing everybody to come out and ski and experience it. And then if you decide that you're going to like it, which you're going to do, then go ahead and buy a pass and jump on board, because we're definitely it's happening. I read about this and I wondered, boy, is this really too good to be true? But I gotta tell you, it's happening.
Well, send me a note and let me know when that official opening is so we can mention that on the show, and maybe I can sneak up there.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you.
Well, I tell you what, it's been a lot of fun, Dan and Sean. Thank you both so much. It's really exciting to have a center like this right here in our state, and I wish you all the best on this and great luck. And I hope we have a chance to have you come back and down the road and just talk and see how things are going.
Awesome. Thanks, Larry.
We'd appreciate that. Thank you very much, Larry.
Thank you both very much. Dan Ahrens is chairman and CEO of the Ahrens Nordic Center. Sean Becker is the Ahrens Nordic Center General Manager. It sounds I'm really excited talking to both of them. And you know what I'm also excited about is the World Cup. And we're going to be talking about the World Cup next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.